shallow. I said, give God some praise. Hallelujah. 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 Our God is a good God. Our God is a faithful God. Our God is an awesome God. And because of that, we're going to view that land one of these days. Hallelujah. One of these days, we're going to view that holy city. Hallelujah. Our God is wonderful. Our God is faithful. Our God is awesome. Our God is able. This God is dependable. This God is awesome. He's reliable. He's there with you. Say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the end of the age. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in your strength and your power. Say, come in your own gentle way. Come, sweet Holy Spirit, 'cause we need you. We say, come, sweet Spirit, we pray. In your strength and your power. Sweet Spirit, just come in your own gentle way. We need you. Oh, we need you. Lord, Holy Spirit, we invite you in our midst. We say, come and take your seat in our place, O God. Take your seat in our midst and do what you know how to do best, Lord. We invite you. You know each one of us, O God, have come into this sanctuary today. You know what we need, oh God. You know what our obstacles are, what our situations are. You know what we are going through. We say, come, Holy Spirit, and meet us at the point of our need this afternoon, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. Speak to our spirits, Lord. Be glorified in this place, Lord. Magnify yourself in our midst today, Lord. Do something new. Do something permanent in our lives today, O God. We just bless you because you are able. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. As I preach, I want you to please talk to me, okay? When I say amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. Let's stand and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14.
If you are there, say amen. The story begins at verse 22, but I'll start from 28. Lord, if it is you, Peter answered, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the midst in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may have your seat. Good morning, Shiloh. I would like to express my heartfelt thanks and appreciation to God Almighty, in whom I live, I move, and I have my being, for the opportunity of being in this place at such a time as this. I'm so, so grateful. I would also like to appreciate our pastor. He's also my pastor, Reverend Dr. Daryl LaRue Armstrong, who has allowed me to share his sacred space in order to minister God's word. Thanks also to Shiloh Baptist Church for allowing me to be a part of this congregation while I'm studying at Princeton Theological Seminary. Thanks also to my PBC friends, my Providence Baptist friends, for being a source of support for me while I'm away from home. Thanks also to my pastor, Reverend Dr. Samuel B. Reeves, who was instrumental in my coming to Princeton to be better equipped for what God has in store for me. Finally, my thanks goes to my husband and my kids who allowed me to come, leaving them behind in fulfillment of God's call on my life. Hallelujah. Coming to this place was difficult, because when I applied to Princeton, it was with the notion that I was going to come along with my family. But when a response was sent, I was told that the scholarship was for I alone. So I had to leave my family behind. It was tough. God, is it really you speaking? God, are you saying I should take this leap of faith? God, it's difficult leaving my family behind. But after praying, I had to make the choice. I had to step out in faith. As Reverend Wilson preached a few weeks ago, he said, the blessing is in the going. And I say to you that since I set foot on this soil, God has been faithful.
Since I took that leap of faith, knowing that I'm coming alone, no one. Don't know anyone here. No family member.
God said, go.
Go and I will be with you.
I took that leap of faith and I'm here today. And I know that he has so much in store for me. At times it may seem like nothing's going right. At times it may seem dark, discouraging, disheartening. But it's working out for my good. And it's against this background I'm going to speak to you on a theme. Faith in the midst of the storm. Faith in the midst of the storm.
What is faith? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is going out there, not seeing anything, but believing that there is something out there for me. The Bible tells us that God told Abraham, go, leave your family, leave your riches, leave your possession, leave your connection, leave your background, leave everything that you have, and take that leap of faith and go to a land. Just a land. He didn't say, go to this particular place. He said, just go. Just go. And I believe Sarah didn't have an idea of what this conversation was all about. Because if she had known, I don't think they would have left. Leaving everything and going to a strange place. And the thing is, you don't even know where the strange place is. You are just going. Hallelujah. There's a quote that says, faith is leaping into the dark with the hope, I said with the conviction, with the confidence that God is there. That dark room where you might have stools around the place. You might have benches. You might have broken glasses. You might have a lot of things in your way. Just take that leap of faith. And as you take that leap, God is going to clear the way for you. God is going to make the way for you. Just take the leap of faith. Abraham was the founding father of faith. Because he left everything. 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 That place he left was where he was born. That place he left was where he grew up. That place he left was the place that he was connected to, that he knew about. He could twist and turn and get things done. That place was a place that he was familiar with. That place has something to do with his background, has something to do with his upbringing. That place. And God said what? Leave. And go. To a place. That you know nothing about. But I know. I know. Because I made everything. I know. Because I'm in charge. I know. Because I am your God. I know. Because I am the head. Hallelujah. I know everything about you. All I need you to do is just trust me. And see what I'm able to do. It is the prerogative of hope to give solidity and reality
to what I think, to what I believe, to what I hope in, or what I'm trusting God for. It's my duty only to trust and have faith. It is faith's responsibility to bring to pass that which I'm asking for. It is not my responsibility to dig behind faith to find out what the outcome will be. My responsibility is to have faith and allow faith to bring to pass that which I desire from God. Hallelujah. That is my responsibility. Wherever I find myself, I must trust God. Wherever I find myself, I must have faith in God. Wherever I find myself, whatever I'm going through, I must continue to depend on God. It's my duty to just continue trusting, to continue hoping, to continue having faith, continue to be rooted and grounded in God. It is faith's responsibility to bring to reality that thing that I'm hoping for, that thing that I'm praying for, that thing that I'm seeking for. Hallelujah. From our text just read, I discovered three truths. The first one is faith is daring. Faith is daring. What does it mean to be daring? It means willing to do something dangerous or difficult, showing no lack of fear. Going out into the deep and doing the impossible and not having any piece of fear. God is saying to you, take this step of faith, and you are sitting down and questioning, God, what are you really saying? Most of the time, we act like we don't hear him or we don't understand what he's saying. When it's in our favor, then we hear, we understand. But when it's against what we want, then we don't understand. Then we start to ask, God, is that you speaking? Are you talking to me? Are you really, really talking to me? Are you really saying I should do this? Because it's not in your favor. So now you can't understand what God's saying to you. But if it was what you wanted, oh, you would be jumping. Before you even ends the sentence, you are all and you are moving. Hallelujah. So faith is daring. The story tells us that Jesus was walking on the water. And when Peter saw him, or the disciples saw him, were afraid, but then when he identified himself, Peter, as usual, said, God, if that is really you, tell me to come to you and I will come. And Jesus said to him, come. Hallelujah. Peter said, God, Jesus said to him, Peter, come. And the Bible says, Peter didn't look at that water. No. For him now, it was solid ground because Jesus had said to him, come. So with that faith, he jumped out of the boat. And the Bible says that he took that leap of faith. The ground, the water became solid. And he started to walk on water. Faith is daring. Daring the realities you see around you that is not speaking positively. Faith is daring. It's daring. Taking those actions that are not conducive, that are not comfortable. But knowing that as I take this action, it's going to come out good. So Peter knew, if I jump out of this boat, I know I'm going to walk as Jesus is walking. So he exercised that daring faith. He said to the water, water, I speak to you in his heart. You are no more watery. You are solid. So I'm going to walk on you because Jesus has told me to come. So I'm going to trust in those words that he's spoken and I'm going to walk on you. So he jumped out of the boat and the Bible says, as he stepped on the water, it became solid ground and he walked every step of the way to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Some of us, we have situations in our lives that is speaking really strong negatives. It's saying to you, you can't make it, you will not make it, you will amount to nothing. And you are not able to look in the face of that situation and say, Satan, you are a liar. You are a liar, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I serve a God who is able to do everything he says he will do. Hallelujah. Because of that, the devil is pushing us around. The Bible tells us of Abraham. God told Abraham, sacrifice your only son. I believe that on his way to Mount Moriah, the devil was really raging with him. It's the same God who told you that the son you have is the only one you're going to have. And is it the same God who told you to go sacrifice that only son you have? Do you think that he will do something about this situation? You won't tell me he's telling you to kill your son. Are you going to kill him? What are you really thinking? What do you really believe that he will do something about it? It was good Sarah did not hear it, because it wouldn't have happened. I know. We women, it wouldn't have happened. My only son, sacrificing, you can't be serious. You really, really can't be serious. But I know that Abraham told the devil, Satan, you are a liar. Because God told me that through this seed, I'm going to have generations upon generations. He said to me, when I was useless, when I was in a position never to have a child, my wife had passed the age of childbearing. He said to me, I will have a child. And he was faithful. And he provided this child for me. Why is it now that as he says I should sacrifice him, I will refuse to sacrifice him? He's still able to do something about the situation. He's still able to turn it around. He's still able to work it out on my behalf. He's still able. Even if I reach to the place I will have to stop him, he can raise him up. He's able to do anything and everything. He's able. Hallelujah. So Abraham went ahead with the sacrifice. And God said what? It was faith. He trusted him. He depended on him, even to the point of sacrificing the only one he had in his old age, knowing that it was not possible to have another child. He sacrificed him. And God showed up, because he's in the business of showing up. He's in the business of showing up. We are also told about a Canaanite woman. She had this daughter who had been sick. And she went to Jesus. Jesus, my child is sick. I need healing. I need healing for my daughter. And what did Jesus say? I did not come for you. Should I take the children's bread and give it to dogs? Jesus called her a dog. But she said, dog or no dog, Jesus, I have faith that what I came here for is going to happen. You can call me a roach. You can call me whatever you desire. What I came here for was my daughter's healing. And I'm not leaving from here until I get my daughter's healing. So anything you want to do, Jesus, I'm here. We're on it together. And then she told Jesus, I said, Jesus, you know what? That's true. You can give the children's bread to dogs. But I know one thing, when a
People are eating. They crumbs fall to the ground. And when it falls to the ground, the dog is able to go there and get something out. So I know that when your crumbs fall to the ground, my daughter's healings can be accomplished. So I don't care what you say, Jesus. Just let the crumbs fall on the ground. I want the crumbs. I don't want the whole bread. I just want a piece of the crumb. That's all I need for my daughter's healing. Some of us, we're going through life, and people say things to us, and we take it to heart. The devil come and pollute our mind, say a lot of things to us, and that is where your blessing coming from, baby. If I were you, I would just let the words fly and get what I want and go on. Because if that is where your solution is supposed to come from, you will not get it. If you continue to take to heart everything that is said to you or done to you. There are sometimes in life we go through these things so God can break us. He can make us. He can mold us into what He wants us to be. I said to people, I can do anything. Scrub the floor. When I came to this world, no rabbit was attached to my knee. I'm Maria Salome P. Smith. So, I can scrub floor. I can do whatever I need to do. If that is the right God's taking me to get me to where I'm going. I'm going. I'm getting there. I am getting there. Because if I wash the floor, it doesn't change my DNA. It doesn't change my name. It doesn't change my stinker. It doesn't stop me from being who I am. It just takes me from where I am to where I ought to be. Some of us are worried about so many things. And because of that, we are not getting what we're supposed to get from God. It doesn't come on silver platter. Let me tell you now. It doesn't come on silver platter. You have to fight for it. And this is some of the way you need to fight for it. Being patient, being humble, being quiet when sometimes when you're supposed to speak, just be quiet. Let them talk. When they're done, you're getting what you're supposed to get and you're moving on. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's just a stepping stone to get to the next level. When you cost me, I'm stepping. When you misuse me, I'm stepping. When you abuse me, I'm stepping. And you know what? You leave me behind because I'm going forward. Every step I take, I'm climbing. Every step I take, I'm and you behind me. That's why we fail to realize. Our faith must be daring. And that is what our independence is Tuesday. Liberia celebrates our independence on Tuesday, and you celebrated yours on the 4th of July. And this is what our forefathers did. Our forefathers had daring faith. When they placed on a ship to go to a land they knew nothing about, a ship was paid for. And they told them, just board the ship and go wherever you land. Whether you land or you don't land, it's your business. Just leave this place. We can't live along with you. So because of that, they were placed on a ship. And they exercised daring faith, knowing the God in whom they believe. Knowing the God who had brought them from all the suffering they've gone through. Knowing that they could depend on Him. He who had brought them that far was able to carry them wherever He desired. And the Bible says they got on the Mayflower and landed on the Providence Island. And because of that, we have Liberia today. There were sicknesses. There were situations that they faced at sea. But did they give up? No, they didn't. Because what? They had a destination to reach. And because they exercised daring faith, they got to the land of Liberia. Hallelujah. The second thing is that your faith will always be challenged. As I said to the folks this morning, if you don't want to, you don't want your faith to be challenged, tell God, kill me and let me go to heaven. Just die and go to heaven. Because as long as you live on this place called earth, there will be one situation to another, from one to another. From if you feel well one today, if you rest tomorrow, praise God. Because after tomorrow, you're going to get another one. After tomorrow, you go. Every time you settle one, you're going to be faced with another one. This is where we live. So get to realize it and accept it as a way of life. The Bible says, Peter got on the water and he started to walk. But then what happened? The wind came from one side. The waves came from another side. And they started to rage. And the devil started to speak through them. And what happened? Peter took his eyes off Jesus. And the moment his faith was challenged and he succumbed to the fear, he started to sink. He started to sink. He started to sing. When we have situations in our lives, know that God is most of us know that God is the solution. But like I always say to people, we always like to fix things for ourselves. So in the process of fixing it, when it gets messed up, then we run back to God. But people, you will always be challenged. You will always face trials and tribulation. Jesus didn't say it will not be easy. He said, yes, it will not be easy. You will have struggles. You will have persecution. You will have trials. You will have the people you least expect to stab you in the back. Even those you are sitting on the bench right now, one of them will be sitting by you and be gossiping about you. But don't let it stop you from getting where God has ordained you to be. He said to Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nation from your mother's womb. That was what I put into place for you. So when you allow someone else gossiping to stop you from going where you're supposed to go, when you allow someone else cursing to stop you from getting where you're supposed to get, no. I had the opportunity of speaking to my boss, saying to him, you know what? You are the owner of this job. But you know what? I know who I belong to. Yes, you own a job. But I own a God, or belong to the God who owns the cattle upon the thousand hill. I serve the God who said I will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. I serve the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. You can take your job, it doesn't matter. It's just a matter of time. You just saying to me, you are promoted to the next level because I'm going to get something better than what you have for me. But most of us, in our offices, people are doing things that is not bringing glory to God. And when they say to you, if you don't be a part, we'll fire you. They say, now you say, oh, I gotta do something about it because I will lose my joy if I don't be. Who says so? Who put that job into place? Isn't it God? Your boss that is there, isn't it because God allowed him to be there? That's why he's there and being the boss. And if God says today he's out, he's out. Don't you know that? That you will compromise your faith because you want a job. A job. When you have the God who owns everything. When you serve a God who created everything. When you have a God who can say this today and it happens. Hallelujah. Some of you have gone to the doctors. And the doctors have said to you, that's your challenge. You are sick. And you are believing God for your healing. But the doctor keeps telling you your situation is getting worse. And you too don't follow him because
that's all he's been doing. He's specialized in this area.
Forgetting to know that the Bible says that by his stripes I am healed. He was wounded for my transgressions. His iniquities, my iniquity were upon him. Everything of mine was placed upon him. For my healing to take place.
Some of you have kids who are going astray. They are misbehaving. And God has said to you, or you believe in God, for that child to turn around. But the more you pray, the more he's going contrary to your prayer. The more you pray, the more he's going contrary to your prayer. And now you want to give up. I said to you, don't give up because there will be challenges. I said to you, continue to hold on to God's unchanging hands. Hallelujah. The Bible said the heart of the king is in the hands of God, and he can turn it whichever way he desires. Your child's heart is in God's hand, and he's able to turn it whichever way he desires. All you need to do is continue trusting and reminding God, Lord, you said children are a blessing from you, not a curse. Children are a blessing from you. So I call my child back to where he or she belongs. I decree and declare that he or she will be a blessing and not a curse. I decree and declare upon his life that he shall grow up to be what you have ordained him to be before the foundation of the world. I decree and declare. We're supposed to be standing, breaking degrees. But we are not doing it. We are sitting and allowing the devil to push us around. I decree and declare. Next, our faith must be focused on God. The story tells me that for as long as Peter looked at Jesus, he was good. He was on solid ground. For as long as Peter looked at Jesus, everything was going well. But the moment he allowed the wind and the waves to distract him, the moment he allowed the noise in the crowd around him, the moment he allowed the situation I was speaking to him to prevail, the Bible says what? He took his eyes off Jesus and started to sink. And started to sink. And that's the principle. As Christians, faith is our base. Faith is that thing that we need to hold on to if we say we must serve Jesus. Without faith, the Bible says it is impossible. Impossible to please God. It is impossible to get what you desire from God. It is impossible to be fulfilled in life. It is impossible to realize anything in life without faith. If we don't have faith, we are on sinking sea. Hallelujah. The songwriter says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest thing, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Because Christ is the solid rock on which I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My education is sinking sand. My connection is sinking sand. My background is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. How much money I have, it is sinking sand. Unless I look to Jesus, in whatever situation I find myself, every other thing is sinking sand. At the beginning, of Lola is solid. But before you make up your mind, you're sinking. Hallelujah. be sinking sand. The Bible tells me of three Hebrew boys who left where they were, taken to a strange land as slaves. And because they trusted God, they were always on time. My people, this is what God is able to do when your focus is on Him, when your faith is just on Him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that these three Hebrew boys were told to worship the king's golden image. But what happened? They refused. They said, we'll bow down. All king live forever. We will not bow down to your golden image. And it is God's will that we die, we will die. And it is God's will that will save us, we will be saved. But no matter what you say, we will not bow down to that golden image, because our God is up there. Our help comes from that hill. That hill where Jesus Christ is seated. That is where our help comes from. We will not turn. We will not bow. We will not bow to your golden image. Whatever it is you decide to do, our God is greater than you. Whatever you decide to do, our God is more than able. Because He says in His word that He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above you all you can ask or think. What you are not imagining is what God is able to do. What you are not thinking is what God is able to do. Where you are not even thinking of going, that's where God's able to take you. God can take you places you never dreamed once your eyes are on Him. I am a testimony of that. My life is a testimony of that. If you want to look at background, I have not. If you talk about connections, I have not. If you talk about money, out of the question. Wherever you put me, it's not possible. If that was why my life was depended upon. But I say to you, when I came to know Jesus, when I came to know this man called Jesus, the I am that I am, the God who is able, the God who can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, hallelujah, the God, that bright and morning star, that dependable God, that awesome God, the moment I got to know Him, everything about my life turned around 360 degrees, yeah, I am today. Did I ever dream of coming to preach on that's a lie? It was not on the agenda. It was not on my mind. But I said to you, I am at Princeton. A lot of you here want your kids to go there. I said, I am in Princeton. And you know how I got there? My connection with God. That's why I got me at Princeton. My connection with God, my focus being on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm looking at Him and He's looking at me. I'm looking at Him and He's doing what He's supposed to do to beautify my life, to make me colorful, to make me wonder. He's doing it because I'm looking up to Him. Who are you looking to? Who are you looking to? I said, who are you looking to? Your money, it will fail. Your connections, they will dash you down sooner or later. Your background, it will get into somewhere along the way. But when you look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, you are settled for good. I said, you are sitting pretty. I say you are sitting pretty when you are looking up to this man called Jesus. Thank you, God. Friends, I know who left here when they asked me, why are you sitting? Where are you sitting? I said, Princeton. How did you get there? Don't ask me. Ask God.
Alright.
Don't ask me. I have no idea. And I don't intend to find out. God did it. God did it. And when I came, I was tough to read those books. But God got me reading them. Hallelujah. I said, when you keep your focus on God, there is nothing impossible when it comes to Him. I mean, absolutely nothing. Your degree will not get you there, people. I don't care how much doctorate degree you can have, it will not get you there. I know people who have a lot of doctorate degree, but they're not to Princeton. Yeah? They wish they had passed there to get someone in doctorate, but they didn't. And I am there. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity. It is a blessing because I kept my eyes to that hill from whence cometh my help. Hallelujah. I desire to go to Liberia during the Christmas break, and someone promised me to get there. I think 2 or 3 weeks later, it was not possible. And my hope was dashed. I was feeling very, very bad. But God said, I got it covered. It's not going the way you want it to go, but I got it covered.
Hallelujah.
At times we want it to be the way we put it. But my people, it doesn't always go the way we want it. But God has it covered. At the end of the day, I got a ticket on Brussels Airlines during the high season with pocket change to go see my family. A dime did not come from my pocket. How I got it, that's not my concern, God. That's first concern, hey, brought it to reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us of mighty men and women of God. Put their faith in God, who look up to the hill from whence cometh the help. And because they trusted in God, everything that seemed like sinking sin, everything that seemed difficult, everything that was a hurdle before them, everything that was not working out, started to work out. The Bible tells me of Joseph, a young man sold into slavery, trusted in God. Someone tried to contaminate him. He refused. Because of that, he was put in prison. But what did he do? He kept on looking up to the hills from whence came his help. He kept on looking up to God. And the Bible tells me that after a while, he left from the prison and got to the palace and became the second in command. What is it that God cannot do? What is it that God cannot do? What is it? What is it you are going through that you think the God we serve cannot turn it around for your good? It may seem hopeless, but I know the word of God says all things work together.
Amen.
Whether it's discouragement, frustration, sucking your pillow at night, all things will come out for your good. All you need to do is just keep holding on. When the devil comes and says this, you say, Satan, you are a liar. I say you are a liar because I have a God who is bigger than you. I have a God who is able. I have a God who is dependable. I have a God who is reliable. No matter what you say, you are a liar. hasn't been easy, but God has been faithful. He has seen me every step of the way. Do you think I'm better than you? I'm not. I'm better than no one in this place.
Amen.
He took me from down in the dungeon when I was seeking deep in sin, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from there he lifted me. Now saved am I. I said, God lifted me when nothing else, when no one else, when nothing else, when no one else could help. God lifted me, and he can lift you too. What is it you are going through? You think you messed up? No, you're not messed up. Because I was messed up. And if I tell you I was messed up, you won't believe it, but I was messed up. But because I turned my life to Jesus, gave him control of my life, things are falling into place little by little. Because I continue to look up to the hill. When the devil said you will not eat today, Satan, you are a liar. God said you will provide all according to his riches in glory through Jesus Christ. So even if now I don't eat, before the night ends, I will eat. So fight all you want, fight. When he said, I will torment you with Satan, he said, Satan, you are a liar. Because God says that by his stripes are in him. When he comes and says, I will push your children to the limit, that you yourself, you say, Satan, you are a liar. The heart of the king is in the hands of God. My child's heart is in the hands of the Lord. And I know he will turn it when the time comes. It's your time to speak. Speak all you want. But God has the final say. I encourage you to stand. What you are going through today. I don't know what situation is speaking to you and speaking negative to you. But I know a man who is able to make everything new. I know a man who is not concerned about what you did last night. I know a man who is not concerned about what you've done in the past. I know a man who's not concerned about whether you are ready to accept his hands that are stretched out to you today. He's saying to you, come to me just as you are without one plea. He's saying, come to me just as you are. I will fix you. I will break you. I will remake you into what I want you to be, or what I ordained you to be before the foundations of the world. All he wants you to do is just take that step of faith and come to him, and he will turn you around. He's here. He's waiting for you. In the last day, your mama will not be there, your daddy will not be there, no one will be there. You have to stand before God and give your own account. So I encourage you to come to God and make it right today. I also want to encourage you to come and be a part of Shiloh Baptist Church, the church of the open doors. The doors are open. No matter who you are welcome to this place. Because all of us were somewhere down there, but God brought us to where we are today. He's able to bring you to that place. You can come and be a part of this church, and this church will help guide and direct you into who and what God wants you to be. If you also here and you want restoration, you want to be restored, You were with God, but then you fell somewhere along the way. His hands are always stretched out to receive you. He wants you back into the fold. So he's saying to you, come. He's saying, come. We appreciate you, we glorify and honor you because you are God and there is none like unto you. Some of us may be shy to come up, Lord, but you know where we are and you are able to find us. So we say, go to every pew, O God, every person from chest to chest, the Spirit of the living God. We say, do something new in the lives of your people, O God, that they will leave from here not as they came, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Those who need to make things right, will you help them to make things right? Those of us who need to build up our faith, O God, to be who and what you've ordained us to be, help us, O God, to step up to that task, O God, that our faith, O God, will be renewed in you. We thank you, Lord. We gave you the glory. We gave you the honor. We gave you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 We have the ushers in. Sorry. We have the deacons and ministers in the aisle all around this place. If you feel led to meet with any one of them, they are there. They are able and ready to talk to you. So you can meet with them anytime. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.